At Riverbank, we believe you can heal, grow, and fulfill God's plans for your life as the power of God touches you through this prophetic teaching by Pastor Dominion. Get excited and hop into it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's something that I taught you, I think it was last year. And I said, situations don't respond to what you say. They respond to who you are. Situations do not respond to what you say. They respond to who you are. And that's a very important lesson in spiritual authority and doing everything that God has said you should do. Situations don't respond to what you say. They don't respond to what you want. They respond to who you have become. One of the prophecies of this year is that the Lord said he would restore everything that has been lost. And one of the things I think and I discern is at the top of that list, as the Lord said that, is spiritual stamina, spiritual momentum. And he said, not only would he restore, he says, many of us have just been focused on trying to get back to spiritual stamina. You know, he says, not only will he restore, he would advance you to where he wants you to be. He would advance you. And the truth of this, the matter is this. There's no way under God's provision to achieve what God wants you to achieve without gaining that leverage by the Spirit. I hear what I'm saying. But what I want you to do is to participate in what God wants to do in your own life. I hear what I'm saying. To participate. It's going to be tough. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be stressful. But the dividends are untold. I hear what I'm saying. It means that when you gain a type of spiritual stature, the results in your life are not directly the result of, say, you pray for something and you get it. No, things just happen to you. So Jesus shows up and a man is possessed. Jesus does not say, I command you to begin to speak. Who are you? Just by showing up, the man says, have you come to destroy us before our time? And he begins to beg him. So what we want to do is gain the type of stature that makes things respond to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That makes doors open to us on their own accord. Let me show you what it means. On this side, there are people that are praying for things. Praying for this, praying for this, praying for this, praying for this, praying for this. And they get results because when you ask, God gives. But on this side, there are people that grow in the anointing and grow in spiritual authority and grow concerning the will of God and chasing the purposes of God, and things respond to them. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He says, and all these things will be added to you. So one of the things I want us to do, and I believe is how God will have us go, is not just asking for this and asking for this. There's time for that, and we will do that a lot, a whole lot, because we don't even do this enough. So we're going to ask for specific things, doors of opportunity in my business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Doors of opportunity, open up, wisdom to run this venture. Supernatural partnerships, opportunities, we'll pray for those things. But also, we would grow in the anointing of God's Spirit such that things just respond to us. At this point, your life is like a well-watered garden of the Lord. Things just happen. You are that person that is just lucky. You are that person that people just want to favor. Let me tell you, in this life, things respond to who you are. It's about who you are. Some doors are shut, not for everybody. Like I've said it many times, during the pandemic, there were people that were traveling around unhindered. Nothing stopped for them. So it depends on who you are. It depends on who you are. What the Lord would have us do is grow in stature. Grow in stature. Grow in stature. And I'm saying this so that you would have it as a goal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have it as a goal. You understand the assignment of prayer. So that during your prayer times, you don't just, you know, it's not business as usual in 2024. It's the year of the Spirit. It's something different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what you want to do is you want to grow in stature. Oh my goodness. You want to grow in stature. I'm going to be teaching along these lines next week, Wednesday, in a sermon titled Purposeful Prayer. Where you grow and things respond to you. Let me tell you something. There is no other way in the kingdom of God to achieve what God wants you to do besides purposeful prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Oh, just pray in other tongues for a few seconds. Pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues, pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues with expectation. Let your spirit be opened. Pray with expectations and let your spirit be opened. Mapo pali kapales ledo karidas enembelika parate iskara sondia kapale elagamia kaparosa ni akapane eliakanda dandia kapaleka eson de ginangarasales uskindi bili kinima karia salahai mendo sononde kabara mara tenda yahai. Say this with me in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. I am gaining spiritual stature. By the Spirit of God, the eyes of my understanding are enlightened. In this year, 2024, I refuse to be confused. In this year of the Spirit, I refuse to be confused. I refuse to be confused. I will always know what to do. There's always a way for me. Every shut door is opened. Every lost opportunity is restored. Every lost time is restored. Every lost year is restored. Every lost opportunity is restored. All that God has said to do, I do by His Spirit. Nothing fails in my hands. And whatever seems like He has failed begins to prosper. And the years that are lost are restored. And the years that are lost are restored. And the years that are lost are restored. I grow in the anointing. I walk in the Spirit. I overcome every hurdle. I overcome every hurdle. Hurdles of habits, hurdles of contradiction, hurdles of failure, hurdles of failed mindsets, hurdles of limitations, hurdles of my environment. I overcome every hurdle. I'm a son of my daddy. I have the spirit of sonship, and everything good is possible. Everything good is possible. Everything good is possible. Everything my Father has placed on my path, I take advantage of. My giftings are activated. My giftings are activated. In the name of Jesus, I step into my destiny. I said, in the name of Jesus, I step into my destiny. I'm launched into my destiny. I am launched into my destiny. I'm unstoppable. I'm victorious. And I'm more than a conqueror. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you've charted the course that you follow. You've charted the course that you follow. You've activated things. Everything the devil has spoiled, you've restored. You've fixed. Oh, say thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, say hello to someone to your right and to your left. Say welcome to church. You don't seem like you're excited. I want you to greet your neighbor like you know that this person is someone important. Ha! Millionaires are sitting beside you. Millionaires are sitting beside you. So greet them very well. Greet them very well. Very well. Like dignity. Hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. 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 I love what you guys just did. I love it. I think it should become our modus operandi. Because it's only a matter of time before we become what we've said. It's only a matter of time. Hallelujah. So can I as well live in that reality? Let me tell you something. Oh my goodness. What you just did now is an important principle in success, even in the kingdom of God. You must be able to feel where you are going to. Do you understand? You must be able to have the emotions, the feeling of it, if you are going to step into it. You must. Because what God wants you to do is, when you step into your destiny, He doesn't want it to be strange. He doesn't want it to be strange. So you must have lived in it for the longest time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Exactly. You must have lived in it. You must have felt it before you step into it. Glory to God. So like I said, it becomes our modus operandi. Do you get what I'm saying? Because we want to practice the word of God. Is that okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. Thank you because there's understanding for us. We do not walk in darkness. We have the light of life. We are doers of your word because we have your spirits. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I don't know where others are. I don't think it's a good service to miss. Unfortunately, we're not also streaming, so but we'll do what we can do. We're teaching on purposeful pursuit. Say purposeful pursuit. All right, and I want you to be very fast as you open your Bible because there's a lot to cover this evening. Are you ready? Are you ready? What is purposeful pursuit? Purposeful pursuit means that when God wants something for you, you chase what God wants for you. That's purposeful pursuit. That you are chasing, oh my goodness, you are chasing with vehemence, with the energy that God wants you to chase. You are not only chasing what God wants you to chase, you are chasing it with the energy God wants you to chase it. That's very important because many people have an idea of what God wants them to do, but they are not running as God would have them run. And so in purposeful pursuit, we are not only learning what God wants us to do, we are learning how God wants us to do it. How will He have you run? How will He have you chase that assignment of yours? Now, let me give some form of introduction to what I'm saying. Of course, the purpose of every believer is to know Christ and to make Him known. That's very clear. All right? That's very, very clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he says, God has reconciled you to Himself and has given you the ministry, the assignment of reconciling others to Him. God has reconciled you to Himself and has given you the ministry of reconciliation. It means it is our responsibility, corporately and individually, to bring people to Christ. And we looked at the calendar of the church and we have times of evangelism. But besides those times of evangelism, you must be able to see people. And we're going to talk about this even more. You must be able to see people around you. And in little but important conversations, draw them close to God. You must be able to see people and draw them to God. You must be able to see opportunities to draw people to God. Anybody that is not close to God is your corporate and individual responsibility to draw them close to God. So you cannot be cool with someone not coming to church. You cannot. You shouldn't be indifferent. Let me tell you something. As a matter of fact, it's proof of lack of favor, lack of spiritual fire. Lack of spiritual fire. Because there's something about the Spirit of God that if he gets a hold of you, will want you to testify about Christ. So that's important. And for us as a church, it's important that one of the markers you use to know that somebody needs to know about Christ and be reconciled to God, whether, you know, legally, that is, the person is not a believer, or vitally in their experience, meaning this person is a believer, but they are not experiencing God as they should. Do you get what I'm saying? One of the markers you would use to know is habits, absence from church, indifference about church attendance, and about the mission of God. So when you see that someone is not coming to church, it is a sign. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you something else. It doesn't matter what the excuses are. No matter how legitimate your excuse is, it's a sign. It's a sign. It's a sign. So somebody can claim that, you know, have reasons why their health is in a particular way. But it might just be a sign that your immune system is down. The fact that the symptom have persisted might be a sign that your immune system is down. And if another, maybe bacterial should affect you, you're going to be completely down. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? So no matter what your excuses are, it might be legitimate. I've told you, a legitimate need to rest is not enough reason not to pray. And we saw it in the Bible. And if we do not take this perception to life, we are not going to produce as much result as we should. So let me tell you what I'm saying. If somebody is not attending church and it does not pinch you, it means that there is something about your spiritual life that you need to work on. If it's not uncomfortable for you, are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you see somebody that is not coming to church, it can be a friend. It can even be a distant friend. You must, if it doesn't pinch you, there's a problem. There is a problem. There is a problem. And this is important because sometimes we feel like we are very spiritual and we are serious with God when we go out to evangelize to strangers. But those that are close, we don't take it as seriously as we should. We don't take it as seriously as we should. But that's not how the early church was, because they had meetings in their homes. Their friends were there. Family was there. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's one of the signs you should be looking at. If my friends and my loved ones are not being serious with God and it doesn't ache me, doesn't pinch me, there's a problem. There's a problem. You might think that, oh, I mean, it's my friend, it's my family, I'm shy. It's also a sign. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a sign. There's something about the zeal of the Lord that pushes you in the direction of the will of God, and you are surprised that you are doing it. You are surprised about the confidence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So make sure that you take the time to pray for them. Make sure you take the time to reach out to them. Don't let it take long. Oh, I can't wait for purposeful pursuit. Purposeful prayer. Because I mean, you must be purposeful in your prayers. When last did you pray for the person? That's one of the questions we're asking. When last? Hi, God. Let me tell you this. People are controlled by spirits. People are controlled by spirits. They don't know. A simple statement like Peter telling Jesus, why should you say you will die? was apparently influenced by his spirit, but he did not know. And so, it doesn't mean that they are possessed of a demon. It just means that there's the spirit that is mentoring them in the way of the devil. And it's very easy, because what the devil does is that, like Jesus says, you sever the things of men. You interest yourself in the things of men. So, we said that, of course, our purpose is to make Christ known, to know Christ and to make him known. And there are signs that if you see in your life, it means that you are not hurt. Alright? So, if you see someone that is not born again, and you are not interested in bringing them into the sheepfold, it's a problem. If you see someone that is a believer, but for whatever reason, they are not in the sheepfold, it's a problem. Make it your assignment to pray for them. Are you hearing me? Make it your assignment. Oh my goodness. And as you pray for them, then you see the power of prayer. You see that people are controlled by spirits. You see that the Holy Ghost can convict someone. Praise the name of the Lord. But beside the ministry of reconciliation, God also sends us to do certain things. For some people, it's business. For some people, it's ministry, it's a paramilitary activity. For some people, it's a career path. Because in that place, he wants you to shine as light. And glory to God. And I want us to be very, I want us to have a purpose-driven mindset about the assignments that God has given us. The Bible says, whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. There must be seriousness to it. Last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, we saw that the devil is interested in your business. He's not only interested in you just not going to church and not being serious about the faith. He's interested in your business. We saw it in the life of Job. The reason is this. Every attack is to attack your faith. Every attack of the enemy is an attack on your faith. So if I can, I afflict your business and it shakes your faith, then I'll afflict your business. If I can afflict your health and it will shake your faith, then I'll attack your health. If I can attack your family and it will shake your faith, then I'll attack your family. That's what the devil does. So to think that he's not interested in destroying your business is a joke. It's a joke. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, and something else is this. To think that God is not interested in your business is not a very wise position. It's an uninformed position. The Bible says he causes his rain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To fall on the good and the evil. He's interested in it. And makes his sun to shine on the good and the evil. So, what it means is this. God creates opportunity for the prosperity of your business. God creates opportunities for the prosperity of your business. Oh my goodness. Ah, glory to God. Let me show you this. Now, I say we are teaching on purposeful pursuits, and there are about 4 or 5 things that we want to learn. But it's an important teaching, and some of these things have babies. So let's get into it. The first thing is the law of vision. Say the law of vision. Yeah, the law of vision. And if you can, I want you to write this down. The very nature of visions precipitates being afraid. The very nature of visions precipitates being afraid. That's not all. Precipitates being afraid, feeling undeserving, looks like somebody is getting it. Feeling undeserving, being convinced that you cannot achieve them, precipitate means to bring about. All right? Being convinced that you cannot achieve them. And a logical conclusion that you are incapable of achieving the vision at the level that you are in. Wisdom, you've crammed the notes. The very nature of visions precipitates being afraid, feeling undeserving, being convinced that you can't achieve them. I'll show you all this from the Bible. And coming to a logical conclusion that you are incapable of achieving the vision at the level you are in. Have you written it? All right. I want you to read what you've written. If you've written it. Okay, you're still writing. Best in note taking. All right, read together, everybody, what you've written. 1, 2, go. Thank you very much. Honest conversation. How many of you feel this way about the vision that you have for this year? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, now let me show you from the Bible that this is normal. Meaning you are not doing more than yourself. You are not foolish for thinking this way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me show you an example. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, verse 10 and verse 11. Exodus 3, 7, 10 and 11. Oh, there's something beautiful here. It says, and the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their crying because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 10. He says, come now therefore, and I will send you, Exodus 3, 10, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Can you see that? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So now God is sending Moses. But Moses is like, who do you think I am? That I will go and meet Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh that he should release God's people. You are not a king. Moses wasn't a king. He didn't have an army. He didn't have the resources of his nation backing him. He just had a stick. And now he is going to withdraw the workforce of a nation, of the strongest nation at the time. He's going to withdraw their workforce and crash the economy. So it was too big. Moses couldn't take it. You know that already, don't you? And so it is only natural that when God sends you, you feel like, who am I? I can't practically at this level. There's no way I can think of a way to achieve this vision. I have no solution. It's not practical for me to have a solution on how, or a strategy on how to achieve this vision. That's how the visions of God are. What strategy does Moses want to come up with? Gather he and his father-in-law to go and fight? Convince some of the people they were living with to go and fight? He had no army. He had no backing. He had nobody. There was no actionable plan. But that's how God's visions are. Same thing with Abraham. Go to a land that I will show you. And I will give that land to you. How are you going to chase the people out of that land? Have you thought about it? Abraham packed his things and started on a journey with his family to a land that people were residing on because God said he would give him. How? So it looked like there's no logical, practical way to achieve that vision. But he went. Same thing with Jeremiah. Young boy. He says, I will make you the prophet to the nations. How? Jeremiah had to exclaim. He said, I'm a child. God said, don't talk like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, even Jesus, I told you, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, God, if there is a way, if there is a way, there's something about the vision that God gives that scares you, that makes you think you are not ready for it. Do you get what I'm saying? That you're not ready for it. And so, visions, the very nature of visions precipitates being afraid. So, because you are afraid of what you want to achieve this year, doesn't mean you are in the wrong. It means you are in the right, actually. When you feel undeserving, like, I don't think I'm the right person. Because Moses began to explain why he wasn't the right person. He talked about how he's not eloquent. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said, Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow in speech and slow of tongue. So he began to look at his personal incompetencies. Because, oh my goodness, the diligence required to achieve that vision, maybe in your life, you have never shown a track record of that kind of diligence. That's what Moses was saying. I have never been someone that's been fluent in speech. So I don't have a history to rest upon. So the level of diligence, the level of structure, the level of organization, the level of leadership, the spiritual energy required to achieve the vision, you might never have demonstrated it. But it doesn't disqualify you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't disqualify you. Moses also had issues with partnership. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses said, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. What will I do? So, what if I don't have partnerships for the business I want to do? What if I don't have partnerships for the venture I want to do? For the ministry I want to do? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, you might have questions of partnerships. You might have questions like a pastor. What if people don't come to church? What if nobody wants to come to my church? Those are the kind of questions that Moses is asking. But you see, this is very interesting because in the vision is a promise. Let me show you something. When God began to speak to Moses, he says, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, where we read, he says, I have seen the oppression of my people. So there are people that God has ordained that he can name, that he has seen, that he's sending you to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, so in the vision is the promise. If the Lord is saying, do 10 million this year, he's saying there is available 10 million I can see moving around the city, around the nation, and around the nations of the world that I plan to channel towards you. Amen. Hey, I love that. I love that. I love that. Let me say it again. The Lord is saying, I have seen 10 million flowing around the nations of the world that I plan to channel towards you. Amen. You would receive this year in the name of Jesus. Listen, listen, listen. And this is one of the most important points. In the vision is the promise. In the vision is the what? Meaning, there are actual people that the Lord has seen, actual opportunities the Lord has seen, actual partnerships the Lord has seen, actual resources that the Lord has seen, actual abilities the Lord has seen in you, that he's saying can come together to achieve the vision. In the vision is the promise. What God is telling you in the vision is, I've seen the end. So he can talk about the end from the beginning. I don't want you to look at your inabilities. I want you to look at the promise of God. In the vision is what? In the vision is what? In the vision is what? Always remember, the promise is the harvest is plenteous. And I know that this one concerns ministry. But it's that when God sent you out, there is a promise. In that vision, there is a promise. In that vision, there's a promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In that vision is the promise. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, Moses experienced total unbelief in his ability to get the job done. Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, Moses says, "But he said, Oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." Send any other person. Total unbelief in his own personal ability to achieve it. I'm teaching you this because you would experience moments like this in this year, where you will be convinced that you've lost it. But all of these are templates to help you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The templates to help you. So what God is saying is that in the vision is the promise. Even if you think you can, he's saying, "I've seen the ability." Right? So here's what I'm saying. Your current inadequacies are not a weakness. Glory to God. Your current inadequacies are what? They're not a weakness. They're not a weakness. They're not your disadvantage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Remember, I'm teaching you this is point one, the law of vision. So the law of vision. Now, something else you should learn about vision is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "Then the Lord said to me," now, so this is an instruction from God, "write the vision and make it plain on tablets." Do what? Do what? All right. So, we said we're having the next business meeting on Friday. Before then, write the vision. Make it plain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How much are we making this year? Write it. What I want you to do is, and we're going to talk about that, write a proposal. Write your business plan. What's your projection? What's your structure? What's your system? What's your plan? As far as you know, write it. And there is a reason why he said you should write it. He says that he may run who reads it. Meaning, writing the vision has a propelling power to make you run. So, the way you would, learning on purposeful pursuits, the way you'll be purposeful every day is that you look at it and you realize you don't have time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You look at, there's something about the vision that makes you realize you need to compress time and run. You need to work more than every other person. This is why they say that entrepreneurship is working 24/7, not just 9-to-5. There's something about the vision that makes you realize that the time you have is not enough. You have to compress it. So you run. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You run. So he says, write the vision, make it plain. It has to be clear. So that he may run who reads it. So your vision must be clear. It must be concise and precise, such that when you have an action plan, every day is a purposeful day. For a man of vision, every day is a purposeful day because every day is an addition on the previous. There is a level of ascendancy you must achieve every day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a level of ascendancy you must achieve. You cannot waste even one day. So, when you write the vision, it's not just about writing, "Oh, this is what I want to achieve." We're going to still get into it. You must be able to write, you know, how your daily goals, your weekly goals, your monthly goals will be able to achieve your yearly goal. So that every day you know, oh my goodness, that there is a task to be achieved. It is said that those that write down a budget for their money, even if they don't follow on it, are able to be 20% more prudent than those that don't write down a budget. That's what God has already told us longest time. That by writing it down, you are just more productive than someone else that did not write. So someone that writes down a budget, "This is how I'll spend my money for the month," will be 20% more prudent than someone that did not write, even if he doesn't follow the budget. And this is what God is saying. So, how have you budgeted your time? Even if you do not follow it, you are going to be, you know, exponentially more productive than someone that has not written theirs. It took years for scientists to finally find out what God already wrote in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. That by writing it down, you would run. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm teaching you on the law of vision. Now, here's about the last thing I'll talk about in the law of vision. The law of vision, and you can write this down, is the principle of continuous, consistent stare at the desired goal. The law of vision is the principle of continuous, that you must continue to do it, consistent stare at the desired goal. Continuous. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Continuous, consistent stare at the desired goal. Meaning every day you must be looking at that vision. He says that you may run that readeth it. Something we said last week was vision is a reference point. It tells you how much work must be done. And this leads us into the next part. We said vision is a reference point, meaning it tells me how much I must do today, how much prayers I have to do today, how much prayers is enough prayer. Let me tell you something. We said this on Sunday, that you have to keep iterating things and changing things and tweaking things. So if I pray, for example, 2 hours every day, after a week, I must be able to evaluate and say, if I keep growing at this spiritual pace, will I, at the end of the year, have gained the stamina to accommodate this vision? Do you get what I'm saying? So if this pace would not get me to the capacity to accommodate the vision, I have to increase my prayer time. The increase of my prayer time is not just dependent on how much capacity I think I have, but based on the reference, the vision. So, if this amount of prayer time does not give me the confidence to send the proposals, to pitch to the business, to carry out the task that needs to be carried out this week, I need to increase my prayer time. Do you get what I'm saying? If the prayer time cannot produce what it should produce in the natural aspect of my business, the time is not enough. So, when Jesus was in the garden praying, he prayed 1 hour, he prayed 2 hours, he kept praying until the prayer produced the energy he needed for the assignment. So, if my prayer life is not producing the energy I need for it to produce for me to do the assignment, I need to pray more. If there are doors of favor that must open in January, if there's an amount of sales that must be made in January, if my prayer life has not been able to produce that result, I need to expand and increase my prayer time. That he may run that reads it. Vision is a reference point. Now, this doesn't only apply to prayers. It applies to study, knowledge. If the amount of materials I've learned in January, let me say I say every day I'll read or I'll receive education for an hour or two every day. But the cumulative education for January cannot bring me to a place of informed knowledge and equipping to be able to man and execute the task for January. I need to increase the time I pray. I study. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. I need to expand the time I study. For example, let's say you exercise. Maybe you just walk around your house. But the amount of exercise does not give me enough energy to be awake and active all through the day to carry out the task I need. I need to increase my time of exercise so that I am active all through the day. Do you get what I'm saying? So vision is that way a reference point. So I won't just exercise for 30 minutes because, oh, it's okay for me. But does that exercise make me active enough throughout the day? Do you get what I'm saying? It's a reference point. Even concerning food. If the amount of food I'm eating makes me too lazy to carry out the vision I need to carry out, I need to reduce the quantity I eat so that I have enough energy to do the vision. Do you get what I'm saying? The Bible says it is not for kings to eat for gluttony. They eat to be alive. Vision is a reference point. So you must eat to be alive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not just eat and you're tired. Let me tell you something else. You also eat for the vision. You can't just be taking things like carbonated drinks and all of this processed food because it doesn't give you the energy that you need to carry out the vision. The vision is not a sprint. It's marathon. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. So it works with everything. It filters into every single thing. If the time I'm spending on social media is too much and does not give me enough time to carry out the vision, I'm spending too much time. That he may run that readed it. And you know what I'm saying? So why was I not able to be productive today? What is responsible for my own productivity today? What is responsible? Because, especially as business people, because there's no, you're not going to the office in the morning and they're saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. You have a personal, you have to create a personal schedule for yourself. Let me move to the next point. I don't have time. The next one is systems and structures. Systems and structures. Write this down. Systems and structures anticipate the challenges that a level requires. Systems and structures. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look at a few scriptures. Systems and structures anticipate the challenges that a level requires and provide sufficient solutions. Systems and structures anticipate the challenges that a level requires and provide sufficient solutions that the business or the venture so that the business or venture can thrive seamlessly. Systems and structures anticipate the challenges that a level requires and provides sufficient solutions so that the venture or the business can thrive seamlessly. Have you read in that? So read systems and structures 1-2, go. Exactly. So now this is where, so now that you've looked at what the vision is, all right, we want to make 10 million in the year 2024. It means that we need to make about 1 million every year, every month. Right? About 1 million every month. All right. If my product costs 100K per unit, how many do I need to sell every month? Every month. 10 times 100K. 1 million. All right. Is that math correct? Yeah, I should. Yes. If my product is 100K, right, I need to sell how many? 10. If my product is 10K, I need to sell how many? 100. That is, if my product is 10K, so for EA now, for example, if one cloth is 10K, you must sell 100 every month. 100 every month means that every week, for 4 weeks, every week, you must sell 25. Exactly. I said, systems and structures anticipate the challenges required Now, listen. Vision is the reference point. You will not now say, I cannot do 25. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't say, I cannot do 25. Because your reference is vision. God has seen that you have the ability. God has seen that there are 25 clonings, 25 units that can be sold. He has seen it. You have not seen it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God has seen it. So there is available 25 units to be sold every week in God's eyes. He knows the people. You don't know the people. If you bend and cower away, then you will not achieve the vision. God is not telling you to do something he's hoping will work. He knows the exact people, the exact, people that would buy those things. And what we are saying is that in the vision is the promise. There's resources with those people. There's ability with you. There's opportunities. But you must align with God. Do you get what I'm saying? In the vision is the promise. The harvest is plenty. The harvest is what? Make that your mantra. There are people that are available to pay for those units. What systems and structures do is that they anticipate the challenge. One of the challenges is, how can I locate these people? It's not that the people are not there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not that the people are not there. Are you saying that throughout the month of January, there are not up to 25 people that have sewn clothes? Do you get what I'm saying? And it's not that there are only 25 people, and so the slot is taken by another serious person. No. So, it's that the system anticipates the challenges. One of the challenges is, how can I locate these people? If it is the harvest, it is plenty. So you must be able to anticipate the challenge, like, how can I locate these people? And be able to provide sufficient solution, meaning, okay, how can I locate these people? Are they here? Are they online? Are they on ground? Are they, where are they? And then be able to set a structure. Oh my goodness, this is important. Provide sufficient solution so that the business or venture can thrive seamlessly. The problem is that we think that I need to go and chase 25 people. That's what we think. No. There must be a seamless operation of the venture. A seamless operation of the venture. The principle is that you might call 100 people to get one person. So if you are looking at chasing 25 people, do you understand? That's a long shot. So there must be a system. Because even if you chase, we're saying 25 times 100, that's how many? 2,500. You chase 2,500 this month, in February, in March, in April. There must be a seamless structure. Right? There must be a seamless structure such that you provide sufficient solution. Can I do one for Barrister Maji that makes her so grateful that she tells other people, such that, when other people see her, they're like, who made this for you? And she won't tell the person. So the person is good, but it has to not be urgent. Is it urgent? Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. You have to say, okay, what are the challenges? For example, one of the challenges is this. What are the complaints that are being made? And how can I set a system around the complaints? Because complaints are feedback. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Complaints are feedback. Okay, so this is a challenge. This is why you must get feedback. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Any feedback, you must maximize it. Listen, one feedback can give you exponential progress. One. Imagine there is a tailor that is reliable. Do you know how many people, meaning in Nigeria, no matter where you are, if you order for a cloth today and you need it tomorrow, they will deliver. If they have to sew all through the night, they will do it. If they have to pray for express, though, do you know how many people will patronize them steadily? Steadily. Do you understand? Steadily. So that means that you have seen, and it's not very difficult. It means that you are just a logistics company that happens to be a fashion designer. That's what it means. You're just a logistics company that happens to be a fashion designer. That's a very good idea. Hallelujah. So, what are the challenges? One of it for many of us is, who are these people that will patronize me? And you must set a system in place. We'll talk about this more in the next meeting. Do you understand? Next business meeting. So that we can look at it. We can look at customized solutions to individual businesses. Do you get what I'm saying? All right. He said there must be systems that are capable of running the vision. So, there must be systems that are capable of running the vision. Ah, there's something I'm going to show you guys in the next business meeting. Very important. So, I'll leave this for that because we don't even have the time. Something here is this concerning systems. In 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 1 to 3. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. He said, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. I'm teaching your systems and structure. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? This is where it starts from, systems and structure. What do you already have? All right, what do you already have? All right, is there anybody you sold to before? How did you meet them? That's something. Because that one is something that has worked. How can, if it works for one person, how can we multiply it by 25 so that it works for 25 people? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, you alone ran it for one person. You alone might not be able to run it for 25 people. So maybe that's when you now need to employ 1, 2, or 3 people that would run the same thing you are running. What is the training system you have to be able to train them to be able to do exactly what you did? Do you get what I'm saying? This is how you know that you need an employee. Because what did you do that worked? What have you done that worked? What you need to do is to multiply it. Many of us do not realize that God works with what's in your hand. That's why he asked Moses, what's in your hand? I can do something with it, but you need to know what's in your hand. Is that okay? We'll talk about that on Friday. So the prophet said, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maid servant has nothing, which is how we feel, right, in the house, but a jar of oil. Many Bible historians say it's just a small cup of oil. So it's not like a big jar of oil. It was actually a very small cup. It's actually very insignificant. And it's what it looks like, right? Compared to the results you're trying to achieve, it seems like you should drop what you've achieved before. Because, come on, this doesn't seem like it can carry you to where you're going to. But you see, the basics are always what works. I was watching a video, I think it was yesterday, also maybe earlier as of this morning, where it was said, I think it was said that, I don't know if someone narrated it or I heard it said that a reporter wanted to just spend a day with, I think it was Kobe Bryant, and say, a day in the life of Kobe Bryant. And they said, oh, you know what? He said, come by 4 a.m. and just watch me do my thing. So he came to watch Kobe Bryant do his thing. And he was doing basic things. And the guy was actually not very impressed. Because he was like, oh, these are the things I do with my 3 and 4 year old child. Just bounce like this and then throw. It was basic. So after the whole exercise time, Kobe Bryant asked him, what do you think about it? He was polite, but at the point he said, you're just doing basic stuff. Basic stuff. There was nothing very serious about what you're doing. And he told him, he said, yeah, that is the basics that makes me as good as I am. The basics. It's just the basics. So it's the basics that you've used to land the clients that's likely going to help you to land more clients. You just need to set a system around it. Do you understand? We easily leave the basics. For example, right? How do you have spiritual favor? It's the basics. You pray in the morning, you pray in the night, you read your Bible, you listen to a sermon. You don't do wrong stuff. Do you understand? When you think that, oh, I'm spiritual, mature person, you listen to secular music, you know,
to a very terrible degree. You don't fast, you don't pray. You just realize that you're not as strong as you used to be. It's the basics. Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. So the basics are very important. So she said, it's just a little jar of oil. And then in verse 3, it said, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. And he says, do not gather just a few. All right. So she was going to have a miracle and God was going to supply, but she needed the structure to accommodate the supply. And that's what I'm saying. All right. If God gives you miraculously 25 clients, can you handle it? Do you have the system for it? Does the employee need to come and meet you every day to ask you every single thing they need to do? So, ma, she said this. What should I tell her? Oh, they said this other one. What do you think I should say? Do you have the structure to accommodate it? We said that the supply is the miracle, not the system. The system is not a miracle. God giving the oil, multiplying the oil is where the miracle is. The system and structure has to be set by you. Do you get what I'm saying? In certain systems and structures, I wrote here, I said the systems are the platform that accommodates the miracle of supply. The miracle should be the supply, not the structure. Bishop Oedipo says, you don't grow big to organize well. You organize well to grow big. All right? You organize well to grow big. Many of us think we should set structures when we are big. No. You don't grow big to organize well. You organize well, and then that organization helps you grow big. Is that okay? Exactly. So that's important. Structures must be built to accommodate the size of the vision, even amidst scarcity. This woman went around borrowing vessels like she had a plan, but she had very small oil that she wanted to point to all of those big, big vessels. So she organized the structure as if it was a big enterprise, but it was actually a very small enterprise. Many of us have our systems organized for a small enterprise. And so God is able to only give. Remember, the oil stopped flowing when the vessels were filled. The same thing with the turning water to wine. It was as many vessels as they had and have filled with water. So their systems were established. That's what he turned to wine. He didn't turn the water in the well where they pulled it from into wine. He only turned the water in their structures into wine. The miracle is the supply, not the structure. So the structure is what determines the limits of the miracle. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. So that's important. So you must be able to organize your business for where you are going to, not for where you are now, not for where you'll be tomorrow. You organize your vision, your structure for where you are going. So if I'm going for 1 million every month, I must organize my structure to be able to accommodate 1 million every month. Is that okay? All right, so that's important. You said, can your bank account accommodate the proposed amount you want to make? Did you get what I'm saying? We talked about that on Sunday also. If you want to earn in dollars, do you have a domiciliary account? All right. So you can't say that, oh, earning in dollars will make sense, but you don't have a domiciliary account. That doesn't make sense. All right. Do you have the emotional intelligence and maturity to handle that level of business complexity? Do you understand? When clients are annoying you here and there, do you have the emotional stamina to accommodate it? Have you learned what it takes to manage employees, to manage staff? Have you learned on leadership? Do you get what I'm saying? Have you learned on leadership? Have you learned on the proper way to employ people? What are the things you should look at? When organizations say send your CV, do you know why they said you should send it? You said send your CV, but you don't even know what to look for. Do you get what I'm saying? So all those things you need to learn. You must develop the emotional strength to handle the pressure that comes. End of month is coming. There's no money to pay the salary. Because now you've got to go and build structure for the harvest that you are looking for. Right? But end of month is coming and then there are all this stuff around you. But there's no money. Do you have the emotional strength, the intelligence to navigate that time? That's important. Are you hear what I'm saying? That's important. Are you hear what I'm saying? Now your voice is low.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. I know you believe that the oil will come as soon as you send the structure. What if it hasn't manifested yet? What are you going to do? And you must be, listen, if you don't organize for where you are going to, you will never get there. But what happens when you've organized for it, but it's not given yet? You've not gotten there yet. You must be able to have the emotional stamina to navigate that awkwardness. She borrowed vessels in the midst of scarcity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Exactly. So, that's important. Do you possess the skill, the mindset? Do you know that there's a mindset of a business owner? Do you have that mindset? Or you have the mindset of an employee? Let me tell you one of the differences between the mindset of a business owner and the mindset of an employee. It's called systems thinking. I wish I had the time to teach it. Systems thinking. Are you here? Most people think in parts, but a business owner and a leader thinks in systems. God is a leader, he thinks in systems. So when he created man, he designed man, you know, as an entire being. So the man has digestive system, respiratory system, reproductive system, excretory system, all of those systems. Do you get what I'm saying? They work together to be able to have a healthy man that is breathing, that is eating. Do you get what I'm saying? That is thinking, all of those things. That is system. But many employees think in parts. So the person just thinks, okay, why should I come at 8 a.m.? I'm just meant to sew 3 clothes every day. Even if I come by 4 a.m., if I come by 4 p.m., or if I come by 12 noon, before I go, I'll still sew the 4 of them. I'll be fast, and I'll make mistake. So why do I need to come by 8 a.m.? He's thinking in parts. He does not realize that as an organization, that bridge of code can impact on another guy that would now come late and not finish his work and go home because you allow this other person come by this time. Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. He does not realize that some of the things that's happened is that even though he's meant to just do 4 things every day, part of it might be that a customer might walk in by 9 a.m. and he will not be on seat. He could tell the person to show me the style and give their measurement and I'll come. But maybe we want to have that human element where you interact with the person and build some form of connection. He doesn't understand that. His own is not just to sew the clothes and let the person come and carry it. Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. So he's thinking in parts. For example, some are like, you know what? I'll just come, walk, and go. But you've not finished the things you need to do today. Why do you want to go? You came late. You were gisting your lunch break. You overshot the time. But he doesn't care because he doesn't realize that there is a system. The amount of clothes you must make today or the amount of product you release today cumulatively comes together to form how much I pay you and run this organization. He thinks in parts. He doesn't realize that him talking rudely to this client is going to potentially chase all the people that are lining up behind him that this client will bring. He just thinks this client is obnoxious, and the clients might be. But he doesn't realize that this obnoxious client might bring our biggest clients. Or might bring the person that will bring the person that will bring the person that will land us a contract. Maybe, for example, the fashion space we're talking about, that we should do an ASHB for an organization. They are celebrating 25 years of existence, and now they want to give us that contract. This obnoxious person was the one that brought the person, whose sister works in the organization and wants to use us. But if we tell this person to go away because they were obnoxious, we would lose that contract. That contract might give us 4 million. That's almost half of how much we are looking for. But he's not thinking that way. He's just thinking, why should the person talk to me like that? Is it because I'm the one suing? Do you get what I'm saying? Most employees don't think systemically. They don't. Anyways, so do you have the mindset? Do you have the skill sets? Right? Do you have the abilities and the traits? Let me tell you something. Abilities can be developed. Say, abilities can be developed. Say it again. Abilities can be developed. Turn to your neighbor. Say, abilities can be developed. Let me tell you what it means. It means you can be a very lazy person and you develop diligence. You can be someone that don't like people to insult you. I can take anything but not insult. And develop the threshold to accommodate those kind of things. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
exactly. Maybe you don't like to sell. But you can develop the ability to sell. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can develop the ability to sell. Knowledge, resources to achieve your desires. I'm probably going to just move from systems because I've talked a lot about it, even though there are a lot of more things. But here's what I'm saying. Your business now. Are you ready? Are you ready? Can your organization function without you? You know you built a structure when the organization can function without you. There's a limit to how much you can grow if your organization cannot function without you. There's a limit to how much you can grow. Because if you are going to spend time praying the way you should, the organization probably needs to function without you for a while. So, maybe you've been scared. If I'm going to throw myself into business this way and achieve this much, how am I going to do ministry? How am I going to pray? How am I going to be involved in the spread of the gospel? Systems and structure. The organization should be able to exist without you. You should be able to go a week off work and the organization will be better than you left it. Because they don't need you. You know, black people have been oppressed for a long time. And we love to oppress. It's how we feel like we're important. Do you get what I'm saying? It's how we feel like we're important. So they always have to revert to you. So you go to someone that probably runs a POS, and if you transfer to them, they have to call the person to confirm the payment. You clearly can't do anything important with your life. So I can't potentially be meeting with maybe a millionaire and trying to negotiate for another big business. Because you are calling me to say somebody sent 2-5. If you don't pick that call, they are going to be harassing your employee. And as a good business person, that your employee are your assets. They can't harass them. So if you're a good business person now, you are in a fix betwixt two. Either to leave this business that would land you 10 million, 5 million, 7 million, or to be a good employer and go and answer the call and say, I've seen the 2-5. Give them the cash. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's redundant. There should be an automatic system. It helps the person to see it. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's that we don't think sufficiently. There should be an automatic system that helps the person to see it. But even if the person is fraudulent, he cannot withdraw the money. Do you get what I'm saying? That's it. There should be an automatic system that helps the person to see it. But no matter how fraudulent they are, they cannot withdraw it. A system that protects you. Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. So your business should be able to exist without you. Alright? So set a system that makes it run from beginning to end. And set a system that makes it run from beginning to end without you. Is that okay? Number 3, diligence. Speaking other tongues. I can't hear you. Speak in other tongues. And who can deny you are crowned the Lord of Who can deny you a crown? Are you praying? Lord of all, can deny you a crown? Lord of all, who can deny that you are crowned? The Lord of all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Diligence. What level of work is required to produce these results? We said vision is the reference. It means it determines who I become. Remember that situations respond to who you become, right? Yes. So, who, I can't just say this is who I am. Mm-mm. Vision is my reference for who I am. So, I must become that person that achieves the vision. What level of work is required to produce the results? You must know it. Do you get what I'm saying? The person that runs an organization in this capacity cannot have poverty mindsets. The person that runs business in this capacity cannot be afraid of selling. The person that runs business in this capacity cannot be inconsistent. If you are meant to be posting, you should be consistent. If you are meant to be praying, you should be consistent. And so diligence is that you are, you know, working at the capacity that you must be working. Not at the capacity that you are comfortable with. Not just at the capacity that you have stretched yourself to. It's at the capacity that produces the results. I wrote here, I said results are the unbiased receipts for work done. Results are unbiased receipts for work done. Do you know how much of a blessing that is? It means I can dictate my results by exponentially increasing the work done. What am I doing with my time if I don't do the work? Do you get what I'm saying? There's only one practical way to get the result, by doing the work. Do I like the result? Yes. Let me tell you something. Your capacity is elastic. Always remember that. One of the lies that we have believed is, oh, I cannot do this. I'm not good at selling. You know, I feel shy to pitch my business. That's not who you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your capacity, your abilities are malleable. You can recreate or reinvent yourself. You actually can. I didn't used to know how to sing before. In fact, I was convinced. I always knew I didn't know how to sing. That was something I knew. I don't know how to sing, so I don't even try. Probably that's why the music in this church is still as balanced as it should. Because if it's pray, Do you get what I'm saying? So I was the one that started the issue that EI is trying to fix. Because I was convinced I didn't know how to sing. But at the point I realized that it was important for my assignment. So I had to learn to at least be able to sing decently. Do you get what I'm saying? Your capacities can be reinvented. Never believe the lie that you... Listen, I'm saying you might have tried it before and you failed. Because how did I know I could not sing? Because they were saying, so this is the key. Which key? I can't see any key here. There's nothing. But I had to at least be better than Jonathan where I used to be. So, listen. When God sent you to do it, it's because he knew that you had the abilities required to do it. Whatever you think is a disadvantage is actually not a disadvantage. Throughout the conversation between Moses and Pharaoh, there was no time where we heard that Pharaoh was angry at Moses stuttering. Remember? There was no time like that. So, you must believe you can be anything you need to be. You must. Maybe you don't like reading books, but you need to read books. You must be able to reinvent yourself. I wrote here, I say you can't just do your best. You must keep stretching until your results look like your vision. Hmm. Now, this is another one, and this is an interesting one. Diligence is easier when you start seeing the results, because success is addictive. Success is actually very addictive. Very addictive. Very addictive. Have you worked hard? Maybe you prayed and your spiritual life was at a level you were hitting word of knowledge like a genius. You just see someone and just drop word for them. Drop prophecy. Pray and their testimonies. Are you wanted to get back to that place? Nobody. Do you understand? Maybe you were praying for a while and your spiritual life was at a very high pitch, and you send a prophecy to someone over chat, and immediately the person is like, how did you know? And you're feeling like God. Yeah, God. And you wanted to get back to that place because it was sweet. Do you get what I'm saying? That's how success is. Success is addictive. So, diligence becomes easier when you start seeing the results, because success is addictive. When you work hard and you start seeing, when you are out of your organization, let me say by me, for some reason, maybe you're under the weather and then you're sick and so you couldn't go to for your business, but you came back and things was working normally. Hey, you're like, I sabi. We've built something. Do you get what I'm saying? We built something. So the results would encourage you to do more. All right, so here are practical questions. When are your working hours? You can't build what you are trying to build without having exact working hours. You can't just, I work when I wake up. Listen, if you only work until you are tired, you will not be productive. Because, for example, look at the times you were trying to pray and you thought you had prayed for a long time. But because you were checking the time, you realized you had only prayed for 7 minutes. If you did not check the time, you would have convinced yourself that maybe you've prayed between 15 minutes and 25 minutes. Do you get what I'm saying? So you would be praying 7 minutes every day, and in your mind, I've started praying 1 hour. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? That's the same thing many people do with work. From when to when are you working? What book skill sets training would you be undergoing in the first quarter? What books are you going to be reading? And it's very easy to know the books you need to read. What are the areas of deficiencies? What are your areas of deficiencies? When would you be reading these books? What goals must be achieved in this first quarter? What exactly? So the quarterly goals must be broken down to monthly goals. So what are you achieving in January? What are you achieving in February? What are you achieving in March? From that January goal, what are you achieving in week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4? What are you doing on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday? Those are very important things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Very important. So please answer these questions. What result must be gotten in the first quarter? What exact results? Do you get what I'm saying? You must write it down. You must write it. It says that you may run that read it. You might get to Thursday and realize you've not achieved what you still were meant to do for Monday. You've only done half of what you had to do on Monday, but there's work for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And by next Monday, there's another thing you must do. So now you have to run. This is the only way to achieve what you want to achieve. Write this down. Diligence is achieving the goal against all odds. Diligence is achieving the goal against all odds. The reason why you are awake, pacing around with sleepy eyes, trying to finish the chapter, is because you are trying to achieve the goal against all odds. Against all odds. Against all odds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you say you must read a chapter every day, you must do everything. Again, you are legitimately sleepy. You are pacing around. You are waking yourself. You are trying to make yourself understand. Against, because this is contributing to my 10 million at the end of the year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's very important. You must. Because knowledge is a window into a new world entirely. Into a new world. Any area you are deficient in your venture, go and study about it. Go and study. I've seen books on cracking jokes. See, it's a world. That's what I'm saying. It's a world on its own. It's a world on its own. You think comedy is just a talent? If you are funny, you are funny. But it's an art that can be learned. Apparently, that's what it is. So, as a comedian, there are books you can read. The first time I heard it was from Alibaba. I was talking about it, that I used to buy some books and this and that. There are books like that. I was on Red Reason. Maybe I wanted to be funny. I decided to go and check. So there are books on everything. So go and study. Is that okay? Diligence also is the willingness to show up in any capacity that the vision requires. Please write this down. It is the willingness to show up in any capacity that the vision requires. I'd often use the story of the talents to demonstrate what diligence is. The guy with one talent was giving excuses. And his excuses might be legitimate. Do you get what I'm saying? Say, oh, I know you're a shrewd man. You like to sow, reap from where you've not sown. Maybe that's true. But that does not exonerate you from being diligent, lazy. Do you get what I'm saying? The two can be right. So, yes, it's tough. Hey, it seems impossible. But, guy, you're lazy. The two of them go together. Are you hear what I'm saying? But this, with the same master, under the same condition, somebody else was making progress. So, there's someone that is succeeding at the things you are complaining at. There's someone in your condition that is succeeding while you are giving excuses and complaining. Your excuses and complaints might be legitimate, but there's someone else that has the same legitimate concerns, issues, and is advancing. Your excuses are legitimate, but they won't pay the bills. Your excuses are legitimate, but they're not going to fill the account. So you can as well put them aside and have the willingness to show up in any capacity that the vision requires. If the vision requires you to work 10 hours, you have to show up in that capacity. If it requires you to show up for 12 hours, working diligently for 12 hours, you have to show up in that capacity. I hear what I'm saying? That's it. That's it. If it requires that you pray for 3 hours, you have to show up in that capacity. Your capacity is elastic. It's elastic. Always know that. It's elastic. It's only at the beginning stages that it's difficult to. After a while, you settle and you are able to do it. And the goal is always to eat the frog first. How many of you have seen that book? Yeah. So it's a graphic analogy, and it's a very beautiful graphic analogy that would work for most people. If they serve you a dessert or food, and there are a number of things on the plate, and one of them is a frog, you have to eat the frog first, because that's the most difficult thing to do. So you go ahead and start with it. All right? I need to pray 3 hours. I go. I can't keep saying, I will. Go ahead and do it. Is that okay? All right. So, if you need to post every day, post. If you need to read a book, read. If you need to quit your job, quit your job. If you need to start a business, start your business. If you need to sell, if you have sales targets, meet it. You must have the willingness to know and do what the top 1% in your industry know and do. Well, let me say this and I move to the other point. We're even out of time. So, here's the thing, right? You have to learn from the top 1% in your industry. What does the top 1% in your industry do? You have to find out. It might be difficult, but you have to find out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I knew that the Lord has called me to lead a youth inclusive church, meaning a church that considers young people. And so we started research, I think it was 2019. We're researching on a book for it. We searched all over, couldn't find a book. And then finally we discovered a book. And it's very technical, because how do you find a book that teaches you on how to, you know, grow a youth church? It's not like they gave me a topic. You understand? It's not like God said, oh, there's this book, go and read it. So first of all, you have to find out what the book that you're looking for is, and then figure out how to get the book you're looking for. So how do you Google that? A book that teaches you on how to grow a youth church, how to attract young people to your church, how to build a reverend. So we start searching. And then finally we found one book. That's how the book is Growing Young. And then I realized later on that a lot of other people read that book. When we now finally found the title of the book, it was now time to find the book. There's no way we'd not send people to look for that book. We search Kaduna, we search Abuja. We sent different people in Lagos. I think even Isaiah went to look for in Lagos too when he traveled or so. Different people, different places we didn't find. So at the end, we had to resort to buying it from Amazon. At the time we bought the book, the cost of the book was the cost of our monthly rent as a church. But we had to do what we had to do. I bought another book recently, I think it was last year. Pastor Howe. That one too was in dollars. Johnson. Pastor Howe is coming in April, so I might have to travel in April. So that's what I'm saying. You have to find what the top 1% is doing. And that's what almost every other pastor has done. They found a church that was the largest church in the world, David Yonggi Cho's church, and they kept consuming his books. Pastor Adeboye was talking about when he went for a conference they were having. He went because his church was not growing. So he went to go and find out, went for the conference himself. He and WF Kumuyi, it's not like they're like, they hold somebody, tell me that you love. No, but individually on their own, they went. But it just happened that, I mean, the white place and they were black and they, oh, bro, and all of that stuff. Do you understand? So the fathers have done what I'm talking about. Do you understand? There's no pastor that I know that has a global church that I have not heard say, I've studied the biggest churches in the world. So that's a principle right there. Study, know, and do what the top 1% in your industry is doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't just go and study around. Study what the top 1% is doing. Know it and do it. Is that okay? When you do it, you now realize that some of the phases that you are normal for where you are. It's called an age-appropriate phase. Meaning for where you are, this is okay. What's happening is okay. So you might, what should have discouraged you? You just realize, no, it happened. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Exactly. So do that. There are two more things. I'll just mention them. Boldness and prayer. We're talking about prayer next week, so I'll not talk about it today. But boldness, prophecy and prayers only work for the bold. Prophecy and prayer only work for the bold. Diligence is the back end. Boldness is the front end. Diligence is the back end. Boldness is the front end. Diligence is the work you do behind the scene. Boldness is that you step up and go and open that account. It is that you go and revamp that Instagram page. It's that you go and open the website. It's that you send the mail that you need to send. Is that okay? So boldness is the front end. You must be able to risk casting your net even though it didn't work every other time. That's boldness. You tried it before, it didn't work. You tried it again, it didn't work. You must be bold enough to do it. You must show up every day as you should, even when you are unmotivated. Is that okay? So boldness is you doing the work in front, what it requires, taking those actions, practical actions. Diligence is the back end of it. Is that okay? Matthew Ashimolowo said, wealthy people have unusual confidence. It is stupid confidence. It is that everybody can see that what you're doing is not working, but you are ready to show up every day. Have you been blessed this evening? All right, please rise up on your feet. And I want us to just take a...